May these be your words for your people this morning. Amen. So that little kids video, which I think is so cute, but also that phrase, they won't be expecting that, has shown up in my vocabulary ever since. Because so much of our faith is like that, right? Where we're like, oh, won't be expecting that. Not always as cute as this video. But that's kind of our theme for Advent. They won't be expecting that. And how it will tie into our own lives. So, how many of you are familiar with the phrase, hindsight is 20/20? So we use this phrase to describe the phenomenon that it's much easier to understand an event after it happens, even if it was very confusing at the time. We've all experienced this at least a little bit, even if it's a, oh, now I get the joke, right? Like even in a very simple context, we've all had this, it makes sense afterwards. My favorite example of this that is like online is a YouTube series that somebody did at the beginning of COVID called Explaining the Pandemic to My Past Self. Did any of you all see this one? It was, the premise of it is she's like a time traveler and comes back in time from late 2020 to early 2020 before the pandemic starts and tries to like prepare herself without actually giving it away. And it's she makes it funny, which is good. And so it's things like she tries to convince her past self to get a puppy. And her past self is like, but I'm going to travel for work this spring. And she's like, but you're not. And her past self is like, why am I buying toilet paper in bulk at Costco? And they're like, oh, just do it. You're going to need. Had hindsight 20/20, and we know what she's referencing, versus just being confused if someone really did show up to tell us all of these things. And it's funny, thankfully, because so much of COVID was not funny, and only makes sense looking backwards, right? Each day was new and scary and gave information different than the day before. No one really knew what was going on, and we were all trying our best, but we couldn't predict what was happening. Hindsight is different. Hindsight is 20/20. If we went back now with the knowledge that we have, things could turn out really different. We would know what to do, what not to do in ways we didn't know then. But we can't live that way. We can only live going forward. We can't go back with the knowledge we have now and change what we did. Whether or not we would want to do that again, we can't. Time doesn't work that way. And so I wanted this idea to have that we can't go back, we can't fix it with more knowledge because, and it's very confusing to live through these events that we can like make, you could write it all out in a bullet page now, right? Ding, 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 ding. But like living through it was bananas. And I wanted to have this idea in mind because that's how a lot of the stories in the Bible are. They're told to us from the past, already happened, already reflected on, already written down. They have hindsight 20/20 vision, as they're explained to us. But everybody living through them were very confused, like we were with COVID. They are not handed an analysis of events. They had to figure it out, experience it day by day, moment by moment. No hindsight for them. And when we look at scripture stories, we assume that our lives are kind of this way too, that it will all be a neat, tidy bow, already explained and analyzed and handed to us. Because that's what the pastors always talk about, is this story that's complete. But it's not. Our everyday lives are the same thing, day by day, moment by moment, being like, I think it kind of makes sense. And then only afterwards are we like, oh, that's what was happening. I wasn't expecting that. The completed God stories from afterwards. And so I want us to look this month at the stories of Advent, at the ideas of Advent, of the situations and people involved in the birth of Christ, and the unexpected moments that really didn't make sense at the time. We forget, because we've heard the story every year for our entire lives, how bizarre some of these things are. The events and circumstances only make sense looking back on it. Living through them would have been wild. And our lives are that way too. I want us to lean into that unexpectedness of the story and how God works, because God still works this way. God still shows up in those unexpected moments and unexpected places and circumstances, and life can be really confusing. And what God is doing will hopefully sometimes make sense in hindsight. And I'm hoping that spending some time analyzing and looking at Advent in this way will make it simpler for us to see in the moment how God may be with us, if we can connect to the unexpected moments from then. So this morning, we're going to talk about the unexpectedness of the Messiah, and not notice the unexpectedness of the coming Messiah. The Messiah was, as a person, as a character, was very expected. In fact, a lot of the Messiah was prophesied about in the Old Testament. Everyone was waiting for the Messiah, the very expected Messiah. What was unexpected was Jesus himself. What was unexpected was the way that Jesus fulfills these prophecies. How Jesus is able to be the Messiah, and yet nobody recognized him as the Messiah while everybody was looking for the Messiah. That is the unexpected part. So let's start by looking at what the Messiah, what they were looking for, what the expected Messiah was. So first, Messiah is a title. It is the chosen one or the anointed one. That's the same word that's Christ in Greek. So when you hear Jesus, this is always the joke they teach us in seminary, right? Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is the title. It's Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the anointed, Jesus the Christ. But it does just mean chosen or anointed, and so it's not exclusively Jesus the anointed. This is a picture, this is really old, this is from a synagogue, it's from around 244, 245, of David's anointing. That's the same word. David is the chosen king. David is anointed. So there are, if we read in Psalms, they'll talk about the anointed or the chosen. It comes up periodically, and it's both the chosen king or priest or prophet and the anointed coming Messiah figure. It could mean both. It usually means both. But by the time of Jesus, the people were looking for a specific Messiah. A savior to come and rescue the people from oppression, from invading armies. So there's This is from the Ark of Titus relief in Rome, of the sacking of Jerusalem, pulling out. So they are specifically at the time of Jesus looking for being rescued from the Roman Empire. They are waiting for that. It was in the air, so to speak, for people to claim the Messiah, the chosen one that is going to liberate the people from oppression from Rome. The historian Josephus lists 4 people by name within 50 years or within the life of Christ that all claim to be the Messiah, who all are military figures fighting against oppression of the Roman Empire. Or Herod, who represented the Roman Empire. So, you know, fighting against the political elites above them. This was in the air. They were looking for the Messiah to be this type of figure. There was a lot of hope and expectation placed on the coming Messiah. And it is clear from the record that they were looking for a historical, military, political leader. And it does make sense. A lot of the phrases about anointing in the Old Testament are connected to kings or warfare. There's a reference in Psalm 110 of the coming chosen Messiah being a descendant of David, who will be more important and powerful than King David. And King David is known for being a powerful general and warrior. There's also references to the coming Messiah being a prophet like Moses. Moses being the one who rescued the people from slavery in Egypt. Throughout Isaiah, one of the places with a lot of prophecy about the coming Messiah, there's a lot of warrior and war references and imagery throughout it. Why wouldn't the coming Messiah be a military leader, or at least a political one? Isn't that the way that the people were saved and rescued and restored before? That's the way God's done it. Why won't God do it again? So the people were looking for a Messiah, for a military or political ruler to come and rescue the people from oppression, from the Roman Empire specifically. This is what it was expected, what was hoped for, what made the most sense, what seemed to fit with the realities of their lives. But we know that's not what it was talking about. We know because we have hindsight 2020 vision. We know that they were misunderstanding some of the prophecies, like ones from Isaiah 53:3, which was, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. We were ignoring that one, probably, because that's not great for a king. So what? We're able to look back now and be like, I can't believe they missed it. But I think we miss it a lot too. We too have expectations and hopes and ideas about what Jesus is going to do, how Jesus is going to meet us in our lives. And we too can miss what Jesus is actually doing. There's a lot of expectations, quote, in the air. For Jesus would do this. Jesus would respond to this crisis like this. Jesus would vote like this. Jesus would stand with these people. And everybody's throwing their ideas up. And we're probably going to miss it. Because that seems to be what we do. As soon as we're like, this is it, Jesus is like, you missed this whole thing. We even have expectations of how Jesus will meet in our own lives. Maybe it's how Jesus has met you before. Maybe you've read a bunch of the Chicken Soup for the Soul type books and can't figure out why Jesus isn't doing that for you when Jesus does it for all these other people. The Messiah does surprise us. The Messiah has always had a "they won't be expecting that" kind of mentality. So if you find yourself in these moments or seasons where it's confusing, where the general idea of Jesus isn't matching what is happening, you may be the one in the right. Jesus doesn't do what he's supposed to do. Don't be afraid. Keep watching and keep waiting. Hopefully, with some time, there'll be a hindsight 2020 moment where it will make sense. And you realize that Jesus does match, just not what you thought it was going to be. So we're going to come back to the scriptures because it would make sense, you know, the general public, the random person hearing about the Messiah being taxed by Rome, going to synagogue, would have some ideas that the Messiah is going to be a military leader. Okay, fine. But Jesus' friends, Jesus' disciples, they should get it. They should know. They should get that he's the Messiah. Peter even like says he's the Messiah, right? Like they should understand what's going on. And they don't. Scripture shows us over and over again that they too are surprised by what Jesus is doing, with the unexpectedness of it. And for me, the most poignant surprise is from John the Baptist. Jesus and John knew each other, as far as we know. Their mothers were friends, and as enough that Mary went to her when she was pregnant, before she told anybody else. So I can just imagine their like miraculous birth stories getting shared at like family gatherings, and they're like, "Mom, not this again," right? Like, they know each other. John prophesies about Jesus. John baptizes Jesus and then was there for that voice from heaven that comes down saying, "This is my son who I love. With you I am well pleased." If anyone's going to be like on it, it should be John. But even John is surprised by Jesus. Even John stumbles at the unexpectedness of who the Messiah is and what the Messiah does. So at the time of our gospel text this morning that Carolyn read for us, John is in prison under King Herod and doesn't seem like he's going to get out. He's not. He's not going to get out. He is stuck in prison after speaking out against immorality from the king. And in the midst of this, John gets messages from his followers, his disciples, about what Jesus and Jesus' disciples are doing. And Jesus is teaching and he's healing, but he's not fighting against Rome. And he's not making any move to rescue John. And John sends word to Jesus. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Are you the Messiah? Because you're not what I was hoping you would do. You're not doing what I thought you were going to do. Are you really? And Jesus answers him back. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Those with a skin disease are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. John asked Jesus, are you the one, or should we wait? Are you really the Messiah? And Jesus responds back with references from the Messiah, that he is the Messiah, references from Old Testament scripture. So the one scholars tie in the most is this one up on the screen from Isaiah 35, 5 to 6. It's the one that's closest to what Jesus is saying to John. Then the eye of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy, for waters shall break forth from the wilderness. Almost the same. But it also reminded me, Jesus is doing all of these things. He's telling John, look, I am the Messiah. I am fulfilling these prophecies. But it also reminded me of this one from Isaiah 61, which is the one that was read, that was our text this morning. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. Did you notice that one of those phrases there was to the release of the captives? To his friend who is a captive, who he does not release, who dies in that prison? Jesus did not do. Because we look at this in Isaiah 61 and we're like, he saves the captives from sin and death. This bigger, wider thing. And his friend is like, but I'm in jail. And it says you will rescue me. I thought you were the Messiah. I'm not expecting what you're doing. And even looking at this text in 61, if we look at it from that general population of the military angle, from a king or a political leader, look, I have the anointed one, the chosen, the Messiah, to bring good news to the oppressed, to proclaim liberty to the captive, to release of the prisoner, vengeance of our God. You can see where they got it. Because nobody's thinking it's going to be from sins. Someone's thinking a little more practical. And yet despite this misunderstanding and confusion, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus does fulfill Isaiah 61. And the only violence is against him, not done by him. Even if Jesus doesn't rescue John. What is so surprising that even those who knew he was the Messiah were still surprised and turned around by what Jesus was doing. How can the Messiah do that? How can that be the result? The answer was that? Are you what we were hoping for? Really? You're not doing what we hoped you would do. Traditionally, this day, the first Sunday of Advent, is about hope. And the people at the time of Jesus were putting a lot of hope in the Messiah to come and rescue them. And we too put a lot of hope in Jesus. And we know that Jesus has met us before. I think everyone in this room knows Jesus has met them before. And we have hope that Jesus will meet us again. And we too can be surprised, both positively and negatively, when our chosen rescuer does not do what we were hoping. When our expectations are not filled, when we are like, well, wasn't expecting that to happen in my week. Sometimes the one we are told will come to save and to heal and to rescue and to restore seems to be doing none of those things. Sometimes Jesus does other things, unexpected things, and with hindsight, we can see what they were. In my own life, when I was applying, I had been hoping and praying and working and going towards graduate school to get PhD work, and I started getting just a ream of no's, and it was the most brutal, and I had no idea why. Just felt like my hopes and my dreams were being dashed on the floor. And I know now that it was because I wasn't listening and wasn't going to go be a pastor otherwise. And I needed years to see where that was going. Because it wasn't what I was expected, it wasn't what I was hoping for, and it was very painful. I had to decide if I would hold on to the hope that Jesus truly was doing good things for my good, even when it wasn't making sense. And if you find yourself in one of these moments where Jesus is doing unexpected things and not in a fun way, I encourage you to be honest. It's more common with Christians than we care to admit. We tend to only tell our chicken soup for the soul stories and not our like, well, I tried to bake something and then the oven exploded or something and now you have to do it again. But we all have those stories. It's unfortunately a familiar experience with Christians. But keep at it. Keep trusting, even if it's grudgingly. Hopefully, with hindsight, it will be clear and the events will make more sense. This is a painting called Hope. And it just seemed poignant. Hopefully, with hindsight, you will be able to see where Jesus was, where Jesus was leading, the ways that Jesus really was Emmanuel, God with you. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, fit almost none of the prophesied expectations for the Messiah, and yet fit all of the prophecies of the Messiah. Everyone was looking for and hoping for the Messiah, but almost nobody saw him because he wasn't doing what they thought. He was unexpected. He fulfilled scripture, but not how they thought he would or should. Even his friends and those who knew him best were confused. And even we are confused sometimes. But even still, our hopes have been fulfilled. Jesus has come. Even when it's not the expected way, even when it's not the way we thought, Jesus is the anointed, the chosen, the Son of God, and really does have good things planned for us. That is our reminder for Advent this morning. So please pray with me. Holy Christ, you never do what we think. You never show up where we thought. You are never where we expect. But you are here and you are with us. You have good for us, and you love us. Help us to have eyes to see where you really are and not where we want you to be. Help us to see beyond what culture and the world tells us you should be doing and what you are actually doing. Help us to wait with as much patience as we can for you to do, to meet us and work in our lives. Thank you that you will not leave us, no matter how confusing life gets. In your name we pray. Amen.